Looking at chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. First Peter 5, 5 through 7, we'll begin with reading. Verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Tonight we're going to begin to look at verses specifically 5 and 6, and we'll be looking at a couple of character traits that we find in these verses. It looks like, Lord willing, I'll be preaching next Sunday afternoon for the back-to-back, so I hope to finish this up. So tonight we'll focus on pride. As we see here, God resists the proud, God opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. So we'll focus on pride and its effect on our lives. This is a very practical study for all of us, because pride is something that we are certainly all guilty of. Pride is a sin, as we'll see, that starts at the very beginning, and it is also the root of many other sins. Another thing about pride, I think, is it's extremely subtle, and it can work its way into our lives, and it can manifest itself in many different ways, and it is absolutely toxic in our relationships with others and our relationships with God. So we're instructed here with a very simple warning. We're to clothe ourselves in humility, because God resists the proud, or the ESV says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Okay, so He opposes or stands against the proud, the prideful, and yet at the same time He is going to give grace to the humble. And this could be considered a rule of the universe. You know, God is opposed to pride, and so therefore He would oppose anyone who exercises that character trait. And so pride invites opposition from God as well as from others, so it would stand to reason how the statement I just made is true, that it would cause a lot of damage to relationships that we find ourselves in. In fact, pride is the sin that started it all. Now, even before the world began, Lucifer was guilty of what sin? It was pride. He was a created being, but yet he wanted to be like God. He wanted to elevate himself to that position, and that was a position that only God, the Creator, was worthy of being in. And so God threw Lucifer out of heaven. And what comes next in the biblical narrative, at least chronologically, was that you have in the garden Adam and Eve, who are also created by God, and they're given one command and one command only, not to eat of the tree. And what happens? Well, they eat of the tree. Why? We could say because Lucifer, Satan, deceived them, which is true. That is why they ate of the tree. But what did Satan say to them? He said to them that they could be like God. He deceived them by telling them that if they ate of the tree, that they would actually be elevated to a status that God was in that they were not. And so, to me, the root here is the same. It's the same sin. There's a pride of wanting to be like God that is there. And I find, as I've gone through this, it looks like pride is the root of a whole lot of sins in our lives. And I know the passage says that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, but I don't think that's exclusive. I think pride is the root of all kinds of evil as well. Thinking more highly of myself, thinking that I can make my own rules, believing that it's your life and you can do what you want to do, live whatever way you want, that's the beginning of many sins. And so to give you a little bit of context, this does come from, at least a lot of the material here comes from a series that I did with the young people on relationships. I think that'll come out a little bit as we work our way through looking at pride, just because, and as I said, it has a negative effect on relationships that we have with one another, and it has a negative effect on relationships that we have with God. So we're going to look at three major headings. First is just what is pride, accurately defining defining pride. Right? And I think we need to do this. We're born with a nature that's predisposed to this sin. Pride manifests itself, as we said, in many ways. J.C. Ryle said it this way: "Pride sits in all our hearts by nature. We are born proud. Pride makes us rest content with ourselves, think we are good enough as we are, keep us from taking advice, refuse the gospel of Christ, turn everyone to his own way. But pride never reigns anywhere as powerfully as in the heart of a young man." Now that last part certainly is true, but pride is prevalent in the hearts of all men. So it's not just young men and young women. We all are guilty of this. And so I ask you, as I've asked myself as we go through this, to please internalize it and think about yourself and think if you are guilty of any of these things. You know, pride is something that we all have to worry about. It's something that we've all got to battle against. It's in our very hearts by nature. So what is pride? Well, the word for pride comes from two words that mean to appear on one hand and then over and above. So it just means simply to think or appear to think more highly of myself than I ought to think. To think that I am, or to appear to think that I am over and above others. Author Sam Storms said, "Pride equals that ugly part of our souls that causes us to be more concerned about ourselves and our reputation than we are about Christ and His." I just thought that was a great quote because that kind of puts it right into perspective. I'm worried about me, how I look, how others treat me, and I'm worried about that far more than I am about how others treat Christ or what they say about Christ. The same word for pride is translated in different ways depending on where you are, and so the context can kind of give us, or the way it's translated gives us a little bit further insight. So sometimes this same root word is translated as arrogant, you know, and that would be the way that I view or think about myself. It could be translated as boastful, which would be what I say about myself. It could be translated as insolent, you know, what I think about others, a condescension, a looking down on others. You know, that is pride. And most of us are aware of that, and most of us, if I asked you what pride was, you probably would have come up with a definition, something like that. but I think, as we'll see, we've got a subtlety in pride that works its way into daily life, and we don't necessarily always see it for what it is. And so the second point would be just the seriousness of pride. All right, so we've seen what pride is. Now we want to look at the serious nature of this sin. Now all sin is serious in that it is an affront to God. It's a violation of His law. It is a rebellion against Him. But there are certainly certain sins in the Scriptures that seem to be elevated above others. And pride would be one of those sins. If you turn with me, we'll just take a brief run through the Proverbs, starting in chapter 6, and just a cursory reading, and I just picked a few here, will prove to us that this is the case. So Proverbs 6, verse 16 and 17, the young people from VBS will remember this, good starting point. Proverbs 6:16, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination to Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. I went on. The very first thing he mentions is a proud heart or a proud look. All right? And the word abomination tells us it's pretty serious. There's a lot of sins in the Bible. There aren't that many sins that are called an abomination, and pride is one of those. Flip ahead to chapter 8, verse 13 and 14. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Ahead to Proverbs 15. Verse 25. 15:25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. And then 16, verse 5, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. Last one ahead in the same chapter, verse 18, very familiar one. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Okay. So again, a cursory reading of the book of Proverbs, and that's a small percentage of what the ones that we could have pointed out, show that pride is indeed a very, very serious sin, or at least God thinks it's a very serious sin. You know, God hates the sin of pride. The sin of pride is an abomination to Him, so it then stands to reason, well, why? You know, what is so bad about pride? Why does God hate pride? And a proud person, if we think about it, is a person that is consumed with themselves and not with God. Remember, Sam Storm said, "I'm more concerned about ourselves and our reputation than we are about Christ and His." So I'm consumed with me, and I'm seeking my own glory, and therefore I'm not seeking the glory of God. And so the pride that God hates is the pride that elevates ourselves to a position, a place where really only God should be. No one else should be. So in a sense, you are contending with God for supremacy. So the answer to this is, why does God hate pride so much? Because pride is idolatry. Pride is an idolatrous sin. You're treating yourself as only God should be treated. You're elevating yourself to a position of worship and devotion, and that's a position that really only God is rightly finds himself in. We're setting ourselves up on that pedestal. And as we know, when we set ourselves up on that pedestal, as the Proverbs told us, we're setting ourselves up for a fall, because only God can operate in that position rightfully. And so if I place myself in that position unrighteously, then I will, unrightfully, it's not really a word, but I will at some point fall. Now this could be in a number, so it's idolatrous, that's why it's so serious. It could be in a number of different ways, in that we're treating ourselves in this way that only God is to be treated. So it could be in relation to salvation. You might be feeling just fine the way that you are. You may not feel that you have any need for Christ and the gospel. And ultimately, that is something that has to be dealt with before conversion can occur. You know, I can't have a prideful heart and be drawn to God's grace in humble repentance. And we know humble repentance is something that is required for salvation. Well, that is obviously directly contrary to a prideful heart. So we'll talk more about that the next time with humility. So it could be in relation to salvation. It could be in relation to our time and energy. In our pride, we spend the vast majority of our time and energy on ourselves, whether it's on our pleasure, whether it's to advance myself in the ranks in my employments, whatever. But I spend far more time doing that than I spend in seeking God's glory. Could be that way. Could be in relation to our attitude in relationships with others. Not seeking God's glory by humbling ourselves before others, but instead exalting ourselves in these relationships. You know, I told the young people that in relationships, we have ultimately one goal, and it's the same goal that we were created with, and that's to glorify God. You know, so God created relationships, and in relationships, every relationship that I find myself in, whether it's parent and child, whether it's husband and wife, whether it's friends, it doesn't matter. In every one of those, we are to be bringing God glory. It is simply not possible to be bringing God glory if I'm consumed with myself. What I want, how I feel, how I look, those kinds of things. And so this could be an idolatrous sin in our relationships. And so in each of these areas, we've set ourselves up on a pedestal. We're contending with God for His rightful place. We're trying to be like God. And as we know, as I said, it can be very subtle, and that would potentially be another reason why you could say that pride is very serious is because of its subtlety. But we have it that it's serious because it's an idolatrous sin, and we would all say that idolatry is definitely something serious in God's eyes. And then secondly, it's serious because it invites opposition from God. Now, the word here that is translated oppose in the ESV and resist here in the New King James means to arrange oneself against. It was a word that was used in wartime situations to get ready to battle. So in a sense, God is taking up battle stations against those who are proud. And I don't know about you, but I'm not sure that that's a position that I want to find myself in. The Creator and Sovereign King of the universe taking up battle stations against you. I tried to think of some analogies to get the kids to figure out what, you know, to think about that. Everything just woefully pales in comparison to what we're talking about. You know, the mightiest king who has ever lived, who has ever been, being against you. And that's not something that we would want to be. And so, therefore, you know, that is, that makes this very serious. Psalm 2, 4 through 6 talks about the men on the earth doing what they will and the Lord laughing at them in derision, you know, and just looking at them and, you know, saying and being completely against them. Okay? Also serious, I think, is one of the ways in which God opposes people, and one of those ways is to give them over to their sins, as we hear in Romans 1. That they're given over, and that's a pretty scary thing. That's one of God's methods sometimes in this opposition, is to be given over. Given over by the Sovereign King of the universe. In a sense, God's saying, okay, you know, you think you can run your own life? Have at it. Good luck with that. You know, and we all know that we would fail miserably at that. So it's very serious because, number one, because God hates it. But why does God hate it? Because it's an idolatrous sin. It's very serious also because it invites opposition from God. Now let's take a look briefly at the effects of pride in our life. So this would be the third point, the effects of pride. Pride's first effect is that it destroys, as I said, the foundation of our relationships with one another. Right? Said we're all in these relationships. The foundation of these relationships is to bring glory to God, and with pride, we can't possibly be doing that. And so I kind of jumped forward a little bit when I was talking earlier. So I mean, that's to me the first effect is that we in relationships with God. In our relationship with God and in our relationship with others, pride is very detrimental, and I think it's mainly detrimental because it destroys the foundation. You know, it rips away that foundation of us seeking to bring God glory. And so it is, pride is fundamentally opposed to any sound biblical relationship, whether it is between me and God, or it is between me and someone else. You know, pride's second effect is the ongoing active opposition of God. And so that's very like the reason that it's serious. So we don't need to labor the point anymore. You know, it's very serious, or it is, the effect is that you will be in opposition with God. So then let's look at the two relationships. Pride is detrimental with our relationship with God, and then with our relationship with others. In our relationship with God, Jonathan Edwards says, "Pride is the worst viper that is in the heart. The greatest disturber of the soul's peace and sweet communion with Christ." You know, a prideful person attracts the opposition, the resistance of God. A humble person attracts God's grace. It's not hard to figure out what side of that equation we need to be on. We know that as believers, our very relationship with God is founded on grace. And so I can't put myself in a situation of opposition to God and expect that relationship to thrive. If I'm a prideful person, then that is the opposite of what I need to be, humble and attracting grace. And so, you know, that's the foundation of our relationship a couple of ways. I mean, pride could rear its head in that relationship and cause problems. We could lack or we could cease to feel our need of Christ, you know, just an ongoing everyday life. I get a little bit proud as to where I've gotten in life and, you know, how I've how I've made some progress in sanctification, and I stop trusting in Christ for that, and I start trusting in myself, and all of a sudden, we're going to have big problems. Lack of joyful communion with God because of pride, it could have both of those effects. It could certainly have many more effects. So pride is very detrimental to our relationship with God, and pride is very detrimental to our relationship with others as well. As I said, pride is the root of all kinds of problems. And again, this list comes really from that series in relationships, but I just thought it was very good. I borrowed heavily from another pastor in coming up with some of these, but it was just very, very practical. Okay? So it is the beginning of all kinds of problems that are destructive in relationships. And so we think about this and think about how the pride is the root of these sins. And so envy, for instance, being resentful of what another person has or is, the position that they hold, well, what would that stem from? Well, that would stem from my desire for them not to be better than me, you know, which is a pride. You know, if I envy them, I'm looking on them and, and then in comparison with myself, that makes me unhappy. Bitterness is another one. Being personally offended or wronged by someone often causes bitterness. I think if you look at the root of bitterness in many cases, it's going to be pride. Why am I bitter? What has caused this? Well, because, you know, I was mistreated. I wasn't treated the way I think I should be treated. I was made to look bad in front of other people. And I didn't like the way that made me look down. I really need to be up here. You made me look like this. And so then there's an ongoing bitterness. Somebody has deprived you of something that you thought that you deserved. You know, and that can cause bitterness. Deceit is another one. Not wanting to look bad in front of others, wanting to look better, so I exaggerate, I lie. And the root of that deceit is my own pride. I want to look a certain way. That's not the actual way that I look, so therefore I twist the truth and exaggerate so as to elevate myself to that position. Pride is the root of many of those sins, and I think if we consider this list of attributes, and as we consider them, and this will be we'll be done here, but consider this. You think of a couple of things. Number one, are you this kind of person? Sometimes, all the time, never. You know. And number two, do you enjoy being in a close relationship with other people that are this way? Because all of these things stem from pride. In our relationship. So we have argumentativeness. Always wanting to argue and belabor every point to prove myself right. And I may be right, you know, but people need to know I disagree. I've been guilty of this many times, you know, and this inability to let things go and always want to argue every point and correct every point, I think has a tendency to stem from an internal pride. With a lot of these, we start seeing the subtle nature of pride. As I said to the young people, is it wrong to debate the truth? Of course not. It's right to debate the truth. It's right to stand up for truth. It's right to prepare an argument and present it. It's also okay to not argue every single point every single time. You know, and there's a humility in backing down in some cases. We have to use wisdom. Stubbornness is another one that I think stems from a pride, just an attitude that I don't need to change. You know, it's them that needs to change. I don't need to change in this situation. Unsubmissiveness. This is of course a big one for young people, but I think it's a big one for all of us. It's the infamous statement, "Well, if I was in charge, fill in the blank." You know. And the implication is that the person who is in charge is far less than me, and they obviously don't have things figured out, but if I was there, I would make all of these decisions correctly. And of course, young people are always guilty of, well, when I'm a parent, I'm going to do this. You know, I'm clearly not going to do what you are doing, but I will do things the right way. But the rest of us have the tendency sometimes to be to think like that with some of our leaders, and that there could be a pride at the root of that. Interrupting someone when they are speaking to you, when you interrupt someone when they're speaking to you, you are proving to them that you think what you have to say is far more important than what they have to say. So I've been able to get around this by, when you talk to me and I want to interrupt you, I don't interrupt you, but I stop listening to what you're saying about 5 seconds into what you're saying. Because I'm preparing my own argument, because I'm going to refute you, because I obviously have everything figured out and you don't. And maybe some of you can admit to feeling the same way. Both are wrong. Both are sinful. Both stem from pride, of not wanting to allow someone else to speak. Easily angered or offended. Are there reasons to be angered or offended? Sure there are, But sometimes we're too easily offended. How dare they say that to me? And the reason that I'm really so offended so quickly is because of my own elevated thought about myself. Overbearing, being the feeling, wanting to constantly be the center of attention. Defensiveness is another good one that usually pride is at the root of, where you bring something to my attention and I immediately, well, what about you? Or they do the same thing, or this person is, that way, and comparing myself to others. And so those are kind of blatant. At the same time, the root of pride is somewhat subtle in all of those. I think there are even more passive ways in which pride will show up. Pride is a great deceiver. It's hard to spot sometimes. It's especially hard to spot in ourselves. It's really easy to spot in other people, or so we think, but it's hard to spot in myself. Now, I may spot it a little ways down the road. I may look back and go, wow, well, I can't believe that I was thinking that way or doing that. But we've got to be careful. It is a deceptive, subtle sin that is the root of so many others. And so things like the fear of man, an undue fear of man, could be based on a pride. I'm fearful of them. I'm fearful of contradicting, of arguing. Why? Because I have a certain way in which I think I ought to be seen. And so if I step out of that box that may be diminished. Having a critical spirit towards others, even if it's not outwardly voiced. God is a God of the heart, and it's great if we don't say a lot of these things, but if we just feel them all the time, then that's still going to be a problem. And so that, some of that unsubmissiveness, children, if you even don't say it, but you're thinking about it, it's still a problem. Making a comparison between myself and others. And a real good way to not be prideful is just to constantly compare myself to Christ as opposed to Joe, because I may be better than Joe every once in a while, but I'm never going to be close to better than Christ. And if I look at Christ in that way, then I am should be drawn to a humility and to a thankfulness as opposed to the other. Overly competitive. I've never been guilty of that. Insecurity, same thing as the fear of man, really, not open to correction. And then my last one was the subtle way in which pride could show up in your life was listening to the last 10 minutes with other people in mind. If you did that, then there might be a little bit of an issue. Hopefully we can internalize this. And as I said at the beginning, we are all guilty of this sin. It is a serious sin. It is a sin that began at the beginning. It is something that we are predisposed to. However, it is something that, as our passage told us, invites the active opposition, resistance of God, and is contrary to the humility that is required in order that we would receive grace. And the next time we'll look more at that, at being humble, but we can see that this prideful heart is contradictory to that. And so if you, like me, are certainly guilty of some of these things some of the time, or all of these things some of the time, or anything in between, you know, may we just be drawn again to a comparison between ourselves and God, a comparison ourselves between ourselves and Christ, as opposed to a comparison with others. And may we elevate Christ to His rightful place, as opposed to elevating ourselves to an unrightful place, as a place that we don't deserve. You know, and I believe that the more that we dwell on the glory of our Creator and the glory of Jesus Christ, the more likely it will be that we are in the correct position, as opposed to an elevated position. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we all find ourselves here guilty at times of thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, elevating ourselves to a position that only You deserve, spending more time and energy on ourselves, on our day-to-day lives than on Your glory, more thoughts on those things than on Your glory. Would You convict us of those sins? Would You draw us to Yourself? Help us to see the glory of Christ, and may that draw us to humble hearts that attract Your grace, as opposed to prideful hearts that invite Your opposition. And be with us now as we come to You in prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.